So Proverbs 21:5. The Bible says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. So I want to get some thoughts here tonight. Is this faith promise is not meant to be impulsive or pressure resulting from emotional excitement in a service, right? You ever watch the missionary presentation and video and you see these kids or you see this and your heart's stirred and maybe your eyes get a little bit, you know, sweaty, you know what I'm saying? That kind of thing you get, just watch it. What we call that is, it starts with some emotionalism. And maybe it's from a place of a burden and that, but so sometimes we can get stirred by emotion, right? And so that's okay for one service. You know, I'm somebody, a missionary comes in, we get stirred, want to give them something to help them on their way. That's fine. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that necessarily. But you know what happens with an emotional charge? You decharge. What's that? It does die out quickly. It dies out when that's not constantly before us. So faith promised missions giving isn't something we want to be emotionally charged. It's not going to last. Nor is it, it's not spontaneous generosity, right? Or some kind of reckless enthusiasm. You know, this kind of, wow, that's great. I'm going to do just this huge thing. And later on you're like, what was I thinking? Right, that type of thing. It's a deliberate act of faith. You understand? It's a deliberate act of faith. And so Proverbs 21:5 gives us a governing principle here. Diligence leads somewhere stable. Okay? Diligence leads somewhere stable. And haste leads somewhere unstable. It's kind of the principle we find in this proverb. We find these things here, and this applies to how we can commit to missions giving. You say, Pastor, is this a missions proverb? I don't know if we'd say any proverbs are missions. Proverbs are biblical principles or spiritual principles to that state. But I want us to look at number one. Scripture warns against hasty commitment. The Scripture warns against hasty commitment. Look again at verse 5, the last half of this says, but of every one that is hasty, only to want. Okay, what is haste? Reckless abandon. Quickly. Yeah, that's what haste really means. I used to have a phrase I would tell my girls all the time. Haste makes waste. Haste makes waste. It's kind of, you see the principle there. When you do it quickly, rapidly, hurriedly, without thought, you end up making mistakes. Messes, mistakes. So, A, haste is emotional, not thoughtful. Haste is emotional, not thoughtful. When we say haste makes waste, we talk about being hurried. We talk about we get into it without thinking, right? Sometimes we say things hastily, right? We say them without thinking, and so it's without thought. Number one, quick comments often lack prayer. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase. Start over. Quick commitments. I started reading, I'm like, man, I really followed that up well. No, because then it wasn't working right. So, like, man, I was here, I'm talking about talking, and then, man, I must have had that all in my head. No, commitments, quick commitments, often lack prayer, planning, consideration, and consistency. Okay? Quick commitments often lack consistency. I'm going to be there on Sunday. Yes, I'll be there on Sunday. And then like 30 minutes later or five, oh, wait, I forgot. I've already promised two other people, I'm going to go help them. I'm going to do stuff. So quick commitments, often they're not. And so not just about going to church. I'm just using that illustration because that happens a lot. But quick commitments. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll do it. I'll do it. And then we make those quick commitments, and they're kind of thoughtless. We just jump into it. And can I say, when you make commitments hastily, it really ruins your testimony. It ruins your testimony because then you after a few broken commitments, you're like, well, that's not that big a deal. Is it? Not that big a deal? To you, it wasn't. You think, oh, no, they'll understand. Will they? Maybe. Maybe not. But you make a commitment too many times and break it. And you say, oh, hey, something else happened. So if I make a commitment to you, and then I call you and say, hey, something else came up, I'm not going to be able to make it. What did I just tell you? Something's more important than you. That's really nice to know. Well, there's vows a little bit more. Vows a little bit more. A vow is a biblical thing, and so we got to be careful in that. But it is in that same line. And now here's what happens. You make a commitment to somebody, and do sometimes other things come up that are important? Yes. Yes. Hey, you know, I'm sick. So we're having discipleship a couple weeks ago, and Eddie shows up, and he is a mess. And I'm like, and he's like, you know what he said, I didn't want you to think I wasn't going to show up. I didn't want, you know, and he, you know what he's trying to do? Keep his, I said, listen, okay. If you're sick, no, and I appreciate that. I do appreciate the spirit of that. But there are some times when there's something that comes up. Hey, you know, I've got to take care of a responsibility that's, you know. So don't misunderstand here what I'm saying, folks. But my point is, and I got off track here. But my point is, hasty, quick comments and hasty, can't read. Quick commitments, hasty commitments, can lead to a lack of inconsistency, right? And so, under that, emotional decisions often fade. They fade with regret, and they lead to what? Excuses. I hate excuses. I do. I hate excuses. When your first go-to when something was wrong is, let me tell you why it wasn't. Tell me why it wasn't my fault. When that's your go-to, you got a problem. You got a problem. It's a problem in your character. Okay? Well, maybe it wasn't my fault. So, right? Man, I'm teaching a lot of things on this one thing here tonight. You know, sometimes there's a place to just park a little bit. Right? When your first response is it's somebody else. But this is what happens when we make hasty, thoughtless commitments. I got the word right. Commitments, what ends up happening is we make excuses when they fail because they're going to fail. They're going to fail. They're going to fade. They're going to fade with regret. And then number two, what is promised quickly is often regretted quietly. It's regretted quietly. I wish I wouldn't have said that. You ever done that? You committed something to somebody and you wished you didn't. We live in a generation that they'll what they promised, they'll regret loudly because there's no more honor in our word anymore. But I tell you, even when you have that, there's some quiet regret. B, haste produces instability. Okay, instability. It's unstable. The number one here. Only to want, it's what it talks about here, again, at the end of verse 5, but to everyone that is hasty, only to want. It's talking about where it tendeth to, where it tends to. Only to want means to lead to a lack. Something is missing. Though a choice was pressed into, it did not produce the desired result. Okay. You're pressed into it. You're like, man, this is going to do this thing. And you quickly do it. You're pressed into it. You quickly do it. Yeah, I'm going to do it. And you say, oh, I'm going to do it. They're going to think I'm really helpful. Or I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to be a blessing. Right? And you're pressed into this hasty decision and you do it and the desired result is I'm going to feel good because I met this need. Woo, that's going to feel so good. And then you find out it does not produce that need. There's still something missing. A lot of times we think if I just jump into that, we're going to find that thing. But listen, A, not because the giving is wrong, that's not the thing, but because unstable commitments collapse. Unstable commitments, they collapse. It's like a structure on a faulty foundation, right? Building below the baseline is important, all right? So important. B, hasty emotional commitments have nothing to stand on when they are shaken. When they're shaken, tested, shaken. But the idea is all of a sudden something comes up and tests our resolve and our commitment. And all of a sudden it has nothing to hold on to. We let it go. Number two, faith promise should not be an impulse. Should not be a comparison, or it should not be emotion driven. Okay, it's not what do other people do. It's not I should do this. It should not be emotion stirred by emotion driven. It should not be. That's not what we're talking about. A, it should not be what feels spiritual right now. B, it should be what has the Lord directed after prayer. Okay? What has the Lord directed me after I've prayed about it? So, you know, I hate, and I think I've mentioned this sometime in the past week. I hate when somebody presses me on something right now. Make a decision right now. I don't like to make decisions right now. I don't. The older I get, and now if it's older or more mature, or I've made a lot of hasty decisions in the past, I don't like to be pressed to a decision. I want to think about it. I want to just, you know, seek the Lord's will on it. Kind of just find out, you know, because there's a lot of things that might, hasty decisions can get us into trouble. By the way, pressing other people into a hasty decision is a bad idea too. So, if haste is dangerous, what does diligence look like? Okay, point number two. Scripture commends thoughtful faith. Okay, look at verse 5 again. He says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. Okay, so direction begins with what? Surrender. Direction begins with surrender. Okay, so number one, before numbers are written down, okay, or boxes are checked, right? Before numbers are written down on a commitment card, we start by asking, Lord, am I willing? Right? Lord, am I willing? And A, if the heart is not yielded, the number does not matter. If the heart is not yielded, the number does not matter. Okay, so here's it. B, missions giving isn't simply about raising money. You got that blank there? Missions giving isn't simply about raising money. It is about stirring our hearts to the kingdom of God. Okay, keep your place there. We'll probably say that verse again several times. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I wrote it wrong there. Matthew chapter 6. I wrote it 5 at first, and I'm like, I can't find it. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I had the wrong chapter. It's chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. Bible says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Listen, I just want us to get this here, folks, is this is the thing. Number two, if there is thought in our decision, okay, if there's thought in our decision, it will lead to more than money. God is not concerned with your money. We know that, right? It's His. What He's concerned with is your heart. He can get your money, but you keep your heart. And we're still not really going to get the work of God done. So, it's more than just about raising money for missions. It's about getting our heart in that direction. B, direction includes an honest review. And this is what's important about the prayer part, an honest review. Number one, diligence means looking at what God has entrusted to me already. What has God already entrusted to me? Has God given you some wealth to your life? You're like, I don't know what I got would be called wealth. Okay. Has God given you an increase in your life? Okay. All right. That's true. I had something, and God has given me some increase. And now, can I say it this way? God has entrusted more to me. Right? From at one point in your life to another, God has entrusted more to me. Okay? So diligence means I'm going to really look into that. I'm going to look into what God has done for me. I'm going to look into that. A, it is being honest about my priorities. Priorities are an important thing. Priorities. That's ironic. And this is what we talk about. I said it includes an honest review. An honest review of your life is really this: what's important to me? Well, I'll tell you what's really important to me, Pastor. No, you don't have to tell me what's important to me. You show me. Not just me, God. Show the Lord. I don't look at your checkbooks. I don't want to either. Like, who has a checkbook anyway, right? You know what I mean, though. But God does. God knows what you spend. God knows what you do. Here's the thing. It's not just what you spend your money on. What do you spend your time on? When there's a question of what you're going to spend your time on, what gets the priority? What's more important? Staying home to clean my house because I neglected cleaning it in the other times I should have cleaned it, and so I got to stay home from church to clean it. Does your house need to be cleaned? Probably. Doesn't the house, if you got anybody living in it, needs to be cleaned constantly, right? You know what I'm saying? And so if you decided, well, you know, I have to stay home to clean my house. Really? Like, of all the other times, the 1 hour that we are scheduled here, there was no other hours. You had to use that hour. That's it. Well, yeah, I had people coming. Oh, that's important. I think when people come over, you should clean your house, maybe. Right? I guess. Whatever. Why is it that funny? Well, no. I don't want to get into that. No. Here's the thing. What I want to get into. What that's going to... I don't know why I'm talking about cleaning the house. Anyway, just... If it hits you, it's your fault. I don't know. I'm not meaning to be pointed. It just... I don't know. What it reveals, though, what's my priority? My guest coming over or the Lord? Well, you know, Pastor, I didn't know till last minute. Well, then, tough on them. That's not very nice. It's not nice, and I don't want to be like that. But, you know, who's got the priority, the Lord or somebody else? Who's got the priority in some of these things? And I'm going to tell you, here's the tough part. Here's the tough part. And I'm saying this like, yeah, you people and me, I'm over here like looking behind some glass or something. But the truth is, this is tough on all of us. to really review our life, due diligence to review our life, to see what really has the priorities in my life, what really does. Be asking this, and this is part of this, asking where trust needs to increase. You know what God's trying to get out of you? He's trying to get more of your money. God just needs, he's broke. God's broke. So he needs your money, right? No, you know what he wants to get more of? Your heart. He wants to get more of your trust. And I'm just telling you, folks, God designed it this way. God designed it this way. We got to eat every day, like throughout the day. I mean, some people do this. I do one meal a day. That's weird. That's not normal. That's weird, right? Somebody has to do that because normal life didn't work for them. Okay? The most people eat throughout the day. And this is why we have different meals. And we break fast. And we have, you know, dinner. And we have supper. You know, we find these things and different things like that. We snacks. And so God created this hunger drive in us and so forth. And so we have some of this thing. So we constantly need, we've got to have resources to get more of that food. And then we have other things, you know. And so God's created this in a way that one of the things that we find this throughout the Scripture, one of the things that we need to survive this life is money. Well, I'm just going to trust God. Well, trusting God means you're going to steward the money He gives you. Well, I don't need money. I just have faith. No, it doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. I'm not talking about a lack of faith. I'm saying this is God's plan to put this in us that we need it. And then God says, I want you to give me some of it to show me that you trust me. Well, so God, why don't you just give me food? He said, I did that in the wilderness. Didn't work for them either. So God said, I got a plan for you. I want to put some money in your hand. And then I want to see if you're going to give me a portion of it back like I've instructed. Okay, God said, okay, you got that one. All right. Good job. Get ready now. I think I want to increase your trust a little bit. By giving me a little bit more of God, I've already given you some of it. God said, I know what you did. I've given you more too. So I want to see. So I'll tell you what it means is we got to really ask God, where does some trust need to increase in my life? There's a real review or examination of my own life here is what's going on. And that happens in the prayer part. Okay, that's the prayer part. So see, direction becomes specific. So number one, faith promise is not a vague something like, well, I'll try, God. Yeah, that's really trustworthy. So me telling my wife, I'm going to try to be faithful to you. She's like, oh, that's good enough. No. That gets you one of, no, I don't know. Not, but I'm just saying, we don't try, for, you know, this. Hey, it is a definite amount and a deliberate decision that leads to a settled commitment. I'll tell you, there's a some people say, I just don't really like to be, I don't like to be held to some kind of, commitment. I just kind of want to just be led of God. That's what we're talking about. Isn't it funny how I hear so many people talk their way out of this thing, and it always ends to a dead end. You know, I just don't think we have to do that. Well, you don't. That's the thing about it. You don't have to trust God. No, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to be serious. You don't have to trust God anymore. You don't have to, but God's not going to ease up on you. If you want to grow closer to Him and really enjoy, rejoice in what God has done for you, you're going to have your faith grow. And if you're going to do more that's going to please God and you're going to have treasure in heaven, you're going to have to be tried. And it's going to be, and there's some things there. And so it's a definite amount here. Two, it will often include being stretched. I mean, include being stretched. It's not recklessness or irresponsibility, but in dependence on God to encourage us in it, okay? Encourage us in it. Listen, there's some people that go into recklessness and just downright foolishness and irresponsibility. I just want to make sure the pastor knows I'm taking this serious. You know, that ain't going to help you with God. That's what the thoughtfulness of this is. Here's the thing. We're talking about spending, right? from some, we're talking about taking spending from some other area of our life to invest into this area. There will be times that what we are missing will hurt. It will even discourage us that we don't have what we're used to having from that area that we took away from. Even if it was an area of excess that we were used to just enjoying. Like, man, I always enjoyed this. You know, we used to missionaries, I didn't do it, but it was kind of right at the beginning of my time. They'd come up, I remember they'd come up to the platform and they'd put a can of Coke and a candy bar up there. Right? On the platform, you know, on the pulpit. They'd put a, and they'd talk about missions and say, you know, what it would cost, and they'd kind of do the numbers of what a can of Coke and a candy bar cost. If you have one every day, and I don't know who drinks a candy bar and a Coke every day. Except for me, was when I was working. Yeah, okay. So that was a pretty common thing. And so, you know, you'd see that, and they talk about what that amounts to a week and to a month. You know, so if you're like, wow, in a year, that's how it should be. And so you'd say, listen, maybe what it would be is giving up your candy bar and Coke and surrender that thing. You're like, okay, I could go without that. Until like week two. For week one, you're like, yeah, I'm giving that up for Jesus because people are going to reach people across the ocean. You feel kind of pretty good about stuff. Until that second week hits. And your sweet tooth starts kicking and you see the other guy. Right? You know that kid. Like that was the commercial, Coca-Cola commercial. Man, listen. Faith counts the cost. It is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Okay, let me go through this quickly. We're out of time. D, direction produces peace, not panic. Number one, haste feels urgent, but diligence feels steady. Now, A, if it creates fear and regret, it was likely a rushed decision. Okay? If it produces sober, or the word sober means serious, trust, it aligns with the wisdom of God. So what does it bring in us? It takes some time, some thought in this thing. So number three, what this means for our church. Our commitments become prayerful, deliberate, specific, and faith-driven. That's what happens. Okay? Number one, then mission support becomes stable. A, missionaries can count on our consistent giving. Okay, and then here's what happened. B, their work can move forward with confidence, not needing to constantly refill what is lost. So many missionaries I talk to, they got to constantly come back and refill the support that they've lost. Churches say, Pastor, sorry, our missions giving has went down. I'm telling you, I've heard it. Our missions giving went down. We're going to have to reduce. We don't want to drop you. We just got to. And so missionaries constantly have to consider this. Really what happens is now what they can do then is they can focus on the work and not on the need to constantly think about keeping or getting new support. Right? So B, faith promise is not about emotional excitement. Though, that does come because we're an emotional people. Are we going to get emotionally stirred? You better believe it. We're an emotional people. And what God does, what God uses us to do is exciting. I'll tell you, it's exciting. There is emotionalism and there's excitement, but that's not what faith promise is about. Number one, it's about thoughtful faith with steady obedience and trust that grows over time. So Proverbs teaches that haste collapses and diligence builds. That's what we find here. Faith promise is not give because you feel something, right? It is give because you've prayed, considered, and trusted. And so, listen, a rushed promise may feel spiritual. You know what I'm saying? A rushed promise may feel spiritual, but a thoughtful commitment is biblical. That's what we find here. It's about the thought. And let me just end with this. He says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Trying to see this thing in the light of a biblical principle. Let's all stand. Father, I do thank you for this time tonight. And Thank you for your word and our opportunity to align with you. Lord, I do pray that you would really through this week and through this missions conference time that our hearts would be in tune with you, seeking, Lord, not just a vague concept, but Lord, you'd lay on it, give us some peace about what you'd have us to do. And maybe for some that have not done anything, Lord, you'd stir us to do something. And for those that are doing something, maybe you would just give us peace about what you'd have us to do more. I don't know, Lord, but that we would seek you with it. And we'll give you thanks. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.